Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there is a better way to work.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Engage for Success Blog Talk Radio show. I'm trying to remember which number it is. It's all been a bit stressful at the last minute. As I'm not in the office, I'm on my mobile and having to dial in using a convoluted route that wasn't working. So if I sound a bit stressed, then that's why. But hopefully everything will be fine now. So I think we're show something like 16, something like that. And we've got half an hour. To begin with, I'll talk a little bit about the events that are coming up with Engage for Success for later in the month. And then I'm going to be introducing our guest a bit later. And we will interview our guest. I'll keep talking about our guest as I haven't said who he is yet. And then we'll go from there. So we really encourage you to call in. If there's anyone listening live and you'd like to call in and ask some questions, then do feel to do so. And the number for that is 001-347-237-4274. And we've also got a back channel on Google Plus, which you can get to if you go to our Blog Talk Radio page, which is where you'll be listening to us from. So if you look at the blurb about the show, you'll see there's a link there to our event pages and you can pick up the back channel for today. And that's being manned, I think, by Joe Moffat, who's going to be presenting for us moving forward. So hi to Joe, and I'll see if I can get onto the channel myself now that I'm calming down slightly. So just to look at the website and find out what events are happening this month, if you go to engageforsuccess.org, and then there's a selection at the top, which is community and events, and you can see various events that are happening. So later this week, on the 10th, we've got a regional practitioner event happening in Birmingham, and you can find out more details, as I say, on the website. That's Wednesday the 10th from 9 till 1, hosted by PwC. And my website's now going slow. We've got another event on Friday, which is a regional practitioner event in Slough in Berkshire. And then we've got three events next week. There's a Engage Success Wiltshire Network meeting, and there's an Employee Engagement Summit on the Tuesday, the 16th. There's a masterclass call, which I've tweeted about today, which is entitled Integrity and Leadership, which looks really interesting. So that's on Wednesday, the 17th. So if you click onto the website and have a look at the 17th, you'll be able to see the details and register for that call. And then there's employee engagement and the employment deal on Thursday the 18th, so quite a lot happening in April. I'll just click in to find out a bit more detail for you. And that's at Edinburgh Napier University in the evening, so you can have a look at that. That's Thursday the 18th. And then on the 26th of April, we've got Engage for Success Come to Essex. And then on the 30th is a webinar, Respect, Surveying Employee Wants and Driving Organisational Success. So quite a lot of events happening. And, of course, we've got our Blog Talk Radio shows every Monday at 4 o'clock. And next Monday we have John Ingham presenting. And he is, well, no, that's not true. It's me and Joe. And we're interviewing Ian Dodds from Ian Dodds Consulting. And then it's John the following week. And you can find out more, obviously, on the Blog Talk Radio show page. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce our guest for today, and we can get going. As you know, we have limited time on these calls, and we've always got far too much to say and not enough time, so we'll get going on that now. So I'm going to introduce to you Sam Dawson, who's an Associate Director of Hay Group Insight. He has some 15-plus years experience in the field of employee engagement research and consulting, and Sam works with clients to facilitate real organisation improvements from their engagement programmes. I'm sure he'll tell you about the sorts of people that he's worked with in the past and how he sort of got into where he is now. But one of the reasons we were really keen to get Sam on the show today is we want to talk very much about the real critical aspects of really making differences within an organisation. We talk a lot about how important engagement is, and I think the bit that people are increasingly wanting to hear more about is some practical examples and some practical tips about things that you can do differently within your organisation. So that's what we're going to be focusing on today. So, hello Sam, are you there?
Hi Joe, I'm here. Thanks very much for having me on. I'm very excited to be here.
and great to have you. Thank you. So if we start by you just telling us a bit more about yourself. Obviously, I did a little bit of an intro, but I didn't want to steal your thunder. So tell us a bit more about who you are, what you do, and sort of how you got into what you're doing now.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I've been looking at sort of employee assessment or employee engagement for one reason or another for 18 years or so. I've got a background in occupational psychology, and as you said, I currently head up the Insight Group at Hay Group. And that's a group that really looks at engagement research and consulting for a wide variety of different organisations across the world, about 450 or so at the moment. And as you know, Hay Group's a global management consultancy. It looks at all areas of sort of HR, thought leadership around leadership, strategy, rewards, and engagement. So, as I said, I've been doing that for about 18 years. Been with Hay Group for 7 years, 3 years in London, and then had the good fortune to be able to go down to Melbourne to head up our Pacific unit down there for 3 years as well. So had some interesting experiences down in Australia, looking at engagement and enablement for some kind of leading organisations down in that part of the world as well.
That sounds really exciting and much warmer than it is currently in the UK.
Much warmer, but very variable temperature in Melbourne. One day it's 40 degrees, the next day it's 20, so you never quite know whether to wear a jumper or not. But a great experience down there and really, you know, helping organisations move from that transactional era of engagement right up to sort of transformational as well. And as you said, you know, got a real interest down in Australia and here really in terms of practical implementation and real-world change in terms of engagement, because I think there's a lot of great stuff talked about models, and really interested to hear David and Anita's interview last week around, you know, real business impact and real business change. So I think that's where I'm coming from in terms of the interest that I have and, you know, how Hay Group helps people as well.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, so that's a bit about you and your personal interest. So let's sort of really get straight into the sort of discussion about the whole transactional to transformational. It's something that's a big focus for Engage for Success currently. David McLeod and Nita Clark are kicking off a project chaired by somebody from PwC to actually think about that whole real transformational side of engagement to move things forward. As I said, we've talked a lot about evidence and how important things are, but, you know, what's the next stage? How do we really help people to do things differently? So what's your take on it? One of the things that I talk about a lot is when we talk about transactional, we quite often use the example of just doing a survey and then not doing very much else as being an example of transactional, and that, you know, that's not enough to make a difference and make those changes. And I always think it's unfair on our survey companies that are in the Guru Group, because obviously that's what you do. It's an easy way of sort of, you know, illustrating. But clearly, surveys do have, and research do have a place if done in the right way, and they can be as transformational as other things. So let's have your perspective on that and sort of your response to those sorts of comments, if you like.
Yeah, thanks. And I think, you know, even before we talk about transactional transformation, I think it's important to think about, you know, employee engagement and enablement in the context of, you know, the financial situation, I guess, globally as well, in terms of the deep recession and, you know, potential triple dip recession in the UK. I mean, certainly a lot of the evidence around engagement that we have points to the fact that scores are kind of polarizing, I guess, globally. We're seeing a good rise in engagement in South America and Asia, for instance, in terms of those real growing markets as well, in terms of business. Some sort of stagnancy in Asia as that becomes more established, but more importantly for us, I guess, in the UK, a real fall off in terms of engagement around the UK, Europe, and North America. I think, you know, thinking about sort of transforming organisations as well, we also know that the UK is lagging behind some of the global performing organisations that there are out there and that Hay Group works with, specifically around kind of key areas to do with the future, so around kind of leadership and strategic direction as well. So I think that's kind of important to think about when we think about, you know, surveys and what's next and how to link it into business performance. Because the other key thing is intention to stay is also slipping in the UK. You know, fewer and fewer people want to stay with organisations. I think certainly as some people may be seeing the light at the end of the tunnel in terms of the recession, starting to think about, you know, what's next in terms of their career moves. So not only are people not really being given that leadership and strategic direction, they're also thinking about, okay, what's next you know, where can I be moving to? So, you know, I don't want it to become too much of a picture for people listening, but, you know, there are some real issues in terms of engagement, and I think that's why we're looking at trying to shift thinking around from transactional to transformational engagement.
And it's certainly, certainly something that's being discussed a lot in the online at the moment. I read an article over the weekend which was that very much about, you know, we're trying to sort of hang on to what's happening with the recession and so on, you know, and engagement is almost sort of saying, let's try and do something really exciting and funky and all this sort of thing. And actually, it's just about people keeping their jobs and how do you sort of motivate them in that situation when you've got little money to spend and all that sort of thing. And, you know, are we banging on about engagement when, you know, there's other issues first? And I suppose it depends on your perspective on engagement and what it is and what it means to businesses.
Yeah, I think you're right. I've seen some of those articles too over the last week or so, and I think it's around, you know, what should we really be doing with the, you know, the money that we have available within organisations? Where should we be filtering that? You know, is it best to look at people or resources or other areas? And I think, you know, we would all, maybe we're biased, but, you know, agree that we would need to focus that on engagement of people. I think it becomes even more important in hard times, really, in terms of giving people the resources they need to do the job, making sure they're in the right roles, setting them up for success, really, in terms of what we call enablement at Hay Group. And, you know, just thinking about this kind of step from transactional to transformational, I think, you know, sometimes the transactional piece is seen as, you know, bad or negative. And, you know, I've worked with many organizations over the years, and I think, you know, in terms of engagement surveys and measurement, organizations have to start somewhere. And I think, you know, in some ways, the transactional piece isn't a bad way to go. I'm just thinking about some of the research that we've done in the last couple of years with Fortune magazine, looking at the world's most admired companies, and really just understanding what they out there. So that, you know, companies like Apple and Google, what they're doing in terms of some of the transactional pieces and how they're getting it right. Three particular things that those guys are doing. The first of all, they're giving engagement real roots and real grounding internally. So they're buying not only the executive team in, but managers in at the bottom line too. So managers understand the importance of engagement, basically. Secondly, they're looking at what we call the kind of the real punch and the real impact. They are actually taking the next step and linking their engagement survey results to bottom line performance. So it's not just talk; they're actually proving it. They're not just using a model either, like the Hay Group model of effectiveness. They're actually going on to prove that actually has real world impact on the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing they're doing is getting the communications piece really right and really crisp. So not only communicating to employees internally around how the engagement journey is going, but actually building that into some of the corporate communications externally to potential talent, say, or as part of maybe their corporate social responsibility report out to the external market. So, you know, they're embedding it, they're making sure it's linked, and they're really communicating that well. So I think there is a real place for the transactional piece as well as the transformational piece.
Yeah, and I guess you can say it's partly a starting position which gives you some sort of grounding, as you say, to then sort of build from there. I'm particularly interested in the bit about linking engagement to their bottom line, using their own results and not necessarily looking at models, because quite often the models are held up as the be-all and end-all, and I've certainly worked with companies in the past who've used other organisations' models and questionnaires and so on, and it has been very much built around that. So it's interesting to hear about companies who actually, I guess they're not throwing it out the window, but they're actually not focusing on what everyone's telling them they should be doing. They're actually looking at what's working for them and using that, is I guess what you're saying.
Yeah, that's right. I suppose, you know, what is the key difference between transactional and transformational? It really is driving business performance, I think. You know, it's not just running some piece of employee research and watching the scores go up or not in the next year. It's really making sure the survey and the engagement measures align to strategy and bottom-line objectives and really helping the story and drive the organisation to the place that, you know, it needs to be and those strategic imperatives it set out, you know, at the beginning of the year or several years ago. So I think it's a very important thing to get right. Certainly one of the things that we've been learning at Hay Group over the last few years is that engagement and looking at engagement in terms of its impact on bottom line performance might not be the only thing to be looking at. We certainly saw instances in our client organisations where you could have actually in the short term a kind of highly engaged group of employees who weren't particularly performing. and vice versa, a disengaged group who were actually in the short term hitting their targets. And we were starting to ask some challenging questions to ourselves and of our clients a few years ago to say, well, what's the real missing piece here? You know, there must be some other part of the jigsaw that that we're not thinking about. And after a lot of analysis and discussions with the clients, we became evident really to us that this was really about enablement. The whole enablement piece was missing from the bottom line performance equation. And by enablement, you know, it's pretty simple really, and it's kind of practical and tangible. We really mean, are people in the right roles and have they got the right kit and resources to get on and do the jobs in their organisation? And when we started to model the relationship of engagement on bottom line performance, we saw a much greater return on things like gross margin and customer satisfaction, return on investment measures where companies had high engagement and high enablement. And so ever since then, a few years ago, we've been encouraging organizations to think about both engagement and enablement as outcome measures, because we think they're both ultimately really important.
Okay, so that sounds like a really key point. So just again, define high enablement. So what are the characteristics of that?
Yeah, so a company with high enablement will be doing several things correctly. I think they will be ensuring that their people are in the right roles, first of all, that the roles are aligned with their personal skills and abilities. They'll be ensuring that there's the right training and support for those people too. Most importantly, I think, you know, in this kind of recession period when we're thinking about doing more with less in terms of resources, is making sure that the work is structured in the right way and to enable people to be successful. You know, many times we'll be consulting with organizations and running engagement surveys and actually looking at process systems and processes that, if not broken, are really not helping people be effective every day at work. And so a lot of that is around making sure that there's the right systems, processes, that work is structured in the right way, really, to help people be effective.
Mm-hmm. And have you got some real-life examples to really bring that to life? I client confidentiality and so on, and I'm sure some of them are out there shouting about their successes.
Of course. The work that we did with Rentokil Initial springs to mind, and they presented it with us at several forums. We've got case studies with them as well. So they're a way into their engagement journey. That's pretty mature, I'd say, for them as an organisation, having done that for many years. What they're actually able to do is start to, through all that survey data, model the actual effects that a percentage improvement of engagement will have on bottom line performance. They're particularly interested in gross margin, for instance. So we know for them that a 1% improvement in engagement actually leads to a 0.5% improvement on their bottom line in terms of a gross margin. And I think that's really important,
wow.
Not just in itself that shows engagement is powerful, but it really starts to take the discussion away from, you know, human resources and engagement specialists into kind of the boardroom, and it gives it more power in terms of, you know, thinking about, right, you know, engagement isn't just about people anymore. This is about actually how we improve our gross margin for our shareholders, and it opens a new world of sort of possibilities of discussion in terms of really embedding engagement in organisations.
And it makes it such a no-brainer as to whether you should focus on engagement or not, doesn't it? I mean, I can't see anybody disagreeing with that when they've got such power.
Well, exactly, I think a gentle challenge to organisations will be, you know, if you're thinking of running, you know, an employee survey or you currently run one, kind of just stop and take a couple of steps back and think about why you want to run the survey. If it's just about to, you know, about watching the scores move up or down, then have a real think about how to link the engagement survey and engagement into strategic objectives and bottom line performance, because it becomes so much more powerful. Having said that, you know, it's not always an easy journey. I often encourage organisations to kind of start to think quite simply about how to do that rather than biting off more than they can chew in terms of, you know, the first time you've run a survey, trying to link it to bottom line performance. I think that's kind of, it's a gradual iteration of the process, maybe over 2 or 3 years, to truly move from that transactional piece to showing how we can really transform organisations.
Mm-hmm. So in simple terms, and I'm sure it isn't simple at all, how does an organisation go about making that link? Because I guess that's one of the things that is seen as being too hard and the bit that just doesn't happen because it's too hard and they don't think it, you know, the argument becomes, oh, it's impossible to do it, so we won't try and all that sort of thing. Well, clearly you have organisations that have done it and can see that impact. So, as I said, it's not simple, but what's the sort of starting point for that? How does that work?
Well, you know, as I said, I do think it's important to start simply and to start to build the case so we can build people in at the right level. In a very simple way, it's really making sure that for those teams you've got engagement results or scores for, that you also have a set of performance metrics and usually a set of standard performance metrics across the business too. So you have an engagement score of whatever it might be, 70%, and you'll have a customer satisfaction score of, you know, 80%. You'll have achieved 67% of your gross margin, and you can start to link these things and you can start to show, well, the teams who are doing best in terms of engagement are also doing best in terms of some of those bottom line performance metrics. And then you start to build a picture, and the better they are at engagement, in a lot of cases, the better they are at showing that return on investment and achieving what they needed to achieve as a team. And it might be starting simply. It might be start taking, you know, 20 teams across the organization, looking at their engagement scores and looking how they've performed, and to start to build a pattern to feed upwards. It's always great to get feedback from the exec as well in terms of, you know, what they're looking to see and the kind of story they're looking to tell from the engagement data, and then that can help shape the whole program.
And who's generally driving this within the organisations? As you say, some of the advantages of the linkage is that you take it away from the HR piece and it doesn't become, you know, something they're trying to push onto the organisation. But who's generally leading this in organisations?
I still think a lot of the impetus from it, or for it, is coming from the HR community and the comms community and the people actually, you know, involved in the day-to-day running of the survey. I think, you know, they're keen to show the real impact and importance of engagement surveys and looking at, you know, enablement and linking it to the bottom line performance. Having said that, on the flip side, I think there's also a pull upwards from executive teams and board level teams, and certainly when we're in talking to chief executives and their teams, the most impactful and important thing they're looking to understand is how can they improve the business. And so I think more and more there's challenge coming from the top of organisations to say, okay, we've been running the survey for a number of years, but how is it really, you know, influencing impact, show us some results and show us some evidence. And they're the kind of challenges we love, because there's so much great data out there and so much we can do, you know, with organisations.
Yeah, okay. So when you talk about that differentiation between the very best performing companies and the others, what generally are they doing and what is differentiating those people from the other organisations?
Yeah, I think there's a few key things, and because we've got this sort of this large external, what we call normative database of client data, we've been able to look at that over the last few years in terms of what really differentiates high-performing companies from everyone else. Because the interesting thing is that despite the recession, the high-performing companies, the best companies out there, keep getting better in terms of engagement, enablement, and their people scores, whereas actually the average scores are dropping off slightly. And the message there is really, if you stand still, you're going backwards, because the high-performing companies are just getting, you know, better and better. And there are three clear things for me that those organisations are doing. The first is, you know, despite the tough times recently, they're really giving people confidence in leadership and confidence in the organisation. So people are kind of on the boat and they're aligned and they really get where the organisation's trying to go. And that's not just through communications, it's really, you know, through leadership making themselves accessible and making that strategic journey really understandable for people, you know, into the next year or into the next 5 years. So there's a great confidence in leadership. That's the first thing, which is kind of strategic, I guess. The second thing is more of an external focus, is they've got great scores around their own ability to deliver quality and customer focus to the external market. So again, despite the tough times, there's still a real focus on clients and actually delivering what clients or customers want out there in the market. So a real external view. And I think the most interesting thing for me, because, you know, maybe they're fairly obvious points, is the continued focus on internal resources in tough times. So you were saying about, you know, some pushback around whether people should be running engagement surveys, whether the spend should be. The best organisations out there are actually focusing on their people in tough times too, and specifically looking at creating development opportunities for people. So not even just kind of running the status quo, as it were, but actually looking at people's future and how they can develop future leaders, for instance, within the organization. So there's this strategic lens, there's an external piece, but most importantly, I think there's this internal focus around development opportunities within the very best companies out there.
Mm. It sounds a bit chicken and egg, doesn't it? Because you sort of think, well, the best performing companies are able to do these things, but then they're probably the best performing companies because they're doing these things. Sort of thing. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think it is a virtuous cycle in some ways, and you know, organisations need to get on that cycle at some point. I think the more you do this great stuff, the more you're going to engage people and get them on board in the journey, and then the more you're going to, you know, be able to achieve from their great efforts and then further engage them. So I think you have to kind of start on the cycle at some point, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess the question is, how do you get into it? And I suppose that's where listening to these sorts of interviews with people who have that sort of experience can be quite useful, because you can use that sort of evidence to go in and you know, sell some of this into the right people to get this sort of thing happening. But you can see why it's hard, because it looks like
there's a real challenge for organisations to think about, okay, we've been running a survey for 5 years, but how do we really take that to the next level? How do we make that, you know, truly transformational? And I think, you know, there's a few things there. There's the piece around leaking it to bottom line performance. I think there's the piece around understanding what truly high performing organizations are doing. And I think there's the piece around really engaging the executive and making sure that they're on board with the survey journey as well, showing them the true power and the true worth, really, of kind of measuring people's engagement and enablement levels at work.
Mm. And when you talked about looking at linking, you know, results with engagement and so on, it sounds like they're normally bigger companies, because you've got, you know, a number of teams to look at the stats for and so on. Where do you think that sort of approach doesn't work as well, because you're a smaller company? Where, you know, where's that sort of break point between being a small company and being able to do all this analysis very effectively?
Yeah, and I think there's one thing about analysis, and there's another thing about really creating a, you know, a really powerful story around the data as well. So I think, you know, even smaller companies can use the evidence from other organisations like Rentokil and others out there who are showing the real impact of engagement. And even smaller organisations can look at, you know, maybe metrics around trends. So last year, you know, how's our engagement score moved and how's our business moved? And, you know, a very simple level, start to look at some of the impact as well. I mean, I know that some organisations we work with have actually looked at their score on this world's most admired companies list in terms of Fortune, and seen how reputation has been mirrored with engagement as well. So we've seen that when reputation scores go up externally, engagement scores go up as well. So even the, you know, the opinions of customers are kind of driving and linked into the engagement piece. So, you know, perhaps smaller organisations can look at something like that in terms of, you know, customer scores, customer satisfaction and engagement too.
Mm. We've got Jo Moffat on our back channel. She's saying that she'd make the observation that organisations who invest in their brands as well as their people during tough times come out stronger than competitors, sort of thing. So I guess there's a sort of common theme around not panicking and continuing to look at building and strengthening the organisation even when it is tough.
I think, you know, she's right.
Probably part of what differentiates.
I think it's about keeping the boat, you know, steady and sure through the rough waters, in a sense, and that's what the best organisations are doing, continuing to, you know, pump resource and time and energy into people as well as the external pieces, which, you know, certainly our data suggests that is just as important as some of the external pieces.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've come to the end of the show. We've got a minute left, so it's been great, and as ever, it's gone far too fast, and the information that you've shared has been really useful to our audience, Sam, so I really appreciate that. Is there any sort of final sort of 20-second comment you'd like to make? No pressure.
I think it's, you know, don't be afraid to try, really. You know, if organisations are looking to make the shift from transactional to transformation, give it a go. Start simply and start to really, you know, build that great picture around how engagement and enablement can really impact bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, thank you very much. I just like to comment on what I said about next week's show. It's actually John Ingham who's talking about allowing staff to fail. So that's coming up next week. But thank you so much, Sam. Really appreciate your time today, and thanks for all your input.
Thanks for having me on.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there is a better way to work.